Hello, my name is Fabian, and I would like to read to you a German nursery rhyme that's been around since around 1900, and it's meant to teach children contradictions. Pretty much every line in this poem contradicts itself, and that is kind of the fun of it. In German, it sounds like this. Dunkel war's, der Mond schien helle, Schnee bedeckt die grüne Flur, als ein Wagen blitzesschnelle langsam die Ecke fuhr. In English, that means, dark it was, the moon shone bright, on snow-covered fields of green, when a coach came fast as light, slowly round the corner's beam. Dunkel war's, der Mond schien helle, Schnee bedeckt die grüne Flur, als ein Wagen blitzesschnelle langsam die Ecke fuhr.
One of the things I enjoy most about traveling to different countries is learning about the different ways people tackle the same problems and challenges we all face in a rapidly changing world. And for women, how are issues of equal pay, corporate glass ceilings, and juggling family and career different in Europe from what you might expect here in North America? Joining us to explore these issues right now are Tina Hiti. She and her husband are raising their family in the scenic Lake Bled area of Slovenia. Ilva da Silva lives in eco-friendly Stockholm in the famously egalitarian country of Sweden. And Kansas-born Julie Sanvo married a Frenchman, moved to rural France, and is now raising her children there. Let's start with contrasting your lives today with how it differs from what your mothers faced at the same age. Ilva, what's the state of women today compared to an earlier generation in Sweden?
Well, none at all, actually. My mother's generation, but from my grandmother's generation, to me, it's enormous. But my mother's life was pretty much like mine. She went to school, she studied, she...
Okay, so the big changes in Sweden happened two generations ago.
Exactly.
Tina, in Slovenia.
With us, there's a lot more equality right now than it was before. With my mom, she was pretty much, she needed to work, but then also raise the kids, do everything at home. While the fathers, the men, didn't work that much as they do now. Now it's a lot more equal between the two genders.
Now, for your mother, she grew up during the Warsaw Pact times, and Yugoslavia Yugoslavia was a little different, but generally Eastern Europe was in the Soviet realm. Does that have something to do with what you're saying? There's a more affluence today and more freedom.
Yeah.
Does that relate to women?
Yeah, it relates to women now. But I also think there is one thing that it's a minus now. It's that in the old system that we had, it was a lot more security because they were not afraid to lose the jobs. They were not looking for jobs. They were not afraid of paying for schools for kids. Right now, we deal with a lot of these issues, and that's a different thing.
There's more freedom for women, but there's also more freedom to be in some serious straits. And Julie, basically, you grew up in America, but how long have you been in France now?
10 years.
10 years. And what's your take on the situation for women in France?
It was quite different for me to go from the United States to France about the women's roles and their kind of place in society. It's very subtle, and I'm still working on figuring all that out. And my mother-in-law, when she was working, I live in the countryside in France, and she's in agriculture. And I know that when she was working with her husband on the farm, she had no rights financially as far as putting in for her retirement, things like that. And I was a boulangère, which is the wife of the baker. And that's the same way for them. They're considered artisans, and they can't contribute financially for their future as a woman. But now that's changed. That's changed since I've been there.
Well, that's a fundamental, a big, almost like a legal change.
Right,
in the state
of
women.
Right.
Now, today in Europe, in your various countries, I just read in the United States, they figure a woman makes 75% what a man makes for the same job. For what a man will be paid, you know, $100 for, a woman would be paid $75. What would you guess the situation is now in France, Slovenia, and Sweden? Julie, in France?
I would guess that it's about the same.
About the same?
Yes, it's same in Slovenia as well.
No, in Sweden, you have the same pay.
Are you just more patriotic, or is it really that good?
No, it is that good, but...
So there's no question in Scandinavia...
Same, yes, for the same kind of work, but then there are some, well, hospitals, nurses are mainly women, and...
Okay, so there's occupations that are traditionally men or women.
In company boards, there are more... Men than women. Still, it's getting better.
So what are the challenges in Scandinavia? Because Scandinavia just seems so progressive and so together, but there are challenges, gender challenges, for instance, for women. What would you say the main crusade? How could you hope the world would be better for your daughters or something like this in Sweden?
Well, it is this with these company boards. And also, most of the CEOs for big companies are men.
Right.
But there are a lot of smaller companies with female, okay. with women. And in the politics, it's, and now I will brag again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So in our Swedish government, we have 24 ministers, 13 are women. So,
more than half, a little bit more than half.
In the parliament, we have 50% women, but in the City Council of Stockholm, we have 53% women.
So basically, there is gender equality in politics in Sweden.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Tina, in Slovenia?
Well, nothing like that, but we do have a prime minister and she's a woman, and that's almost the only representative of that sex in the
government. Is that
government.
Right? So the big boss is a woman and everybody else is men in Slovenia.
Yeah. And that's a new thing because it hasn't been... For years, we never had a woman in parliament.
Are you hopeful that in the future that'll be a little more like Sweden?
I hope that it will get more equal in that field, in the political sense, and also in corporate world, because as in Sweden, also we have more corporate people that are men.
So it's a man's world in corporations and in politics still. And Julie, in France, politically, what's the story?
I think there's a lot of women in politics, and more in politics and in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. I think it's more acceptable for a woman to be in that position.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about the challenges of women in different countries. And every week for an hour, we explore different cultures and try to learn from our travels and learn from other people who can share a little insight so we can better organize our own culture in a lot of ways. And a lot of us are struggling as parents and raising our kids and our daughters to live fulfilling lives. And all of you are mothers. What are the challenges in your society of balancing the obligations and beauties of being a good mother and also maintaining your careers? Is this a challenge in France, Julie? What are you confronting that way?
Well, I feel that sometimes I've had an easier time being a mother in France because financially you get help being a mother so that you feel you can be in the home if you want to be there with your children to help raise them. So
financially, you get help. How so?
From the government, you get subsidies per child for help.
Just to help pay your domestic bills.
Right.
You also have government subsidized daycare, don't you, if you want to go to work?
Right. And the maternity leave and all kinds of things. And help if you don't make a certain wage, then you can subsidize that with help as well from the government.
Let's just quickly review this because this is a big issue for women. Women want to have a career track. Men cannot have kids. Women have the kids. And it's generally the case that women end up having to stay home and raise them. In Europe, you have government mandated paid maternal or parental leave. Just very quickly, in your different countries, what is the paid time you get off of work to be home when you have a baby, your maternal or paternal leave? Julie, in France?
Maternal leave is for the first child 16 weeks paid. Mm-hmm. And for the mother, and then she can take up to 1 year per child at 70% to 80% of her wage and be guaranteed her job back after that time.
And if the couple decides the woman's job is a little harder to leave than the man's, or for whatever reason, can the dad stay home?
Well, the dad gets 11 days, so it's more
it's really
the mother's.
So legally, the mom gets the break to stay home.
Right.
And Tina, in Slovenia?
Yeah, in Slovenia, we do have 365 days of maternity leave, so a good year. And it's all fully paid.
For the mom.
Also, the man can do it, but it's, I would say, 95%. It's always the women
traditionally, the
who
women
stay at home.
There's
almost a stigma if a man would stay at home. It's like, it's kind of weird.
But that's a little different in Scandinavia because I see a lot of men with baby strollers out in the parks on a Wednesday morning, you know?
It would be a stigma for a father not to stay at home with his child.
Not to stay at home.
Yes.
Completely different.
Completely different.
In Sweden.
Yes. In Sweden, we have 480 days with 80% of the income. Mm-hmm. So it's not fully paid, but 80%.
Yes. Pretty good. And it's divided by the mom and the dad.
So usually the mother stays at home as long as she's breastfeeding. So 6 months. And then the father stays at home for 6 months. And then we divide the rest of the days.
A lot of moms are concerned that their daughters will try to live up to this Barbie image that you get if young girls watch TV here. Is that a concern in Europe, Julie?
Yes, and actually they just changed the law where now little girls are not able to do beauty pageants until they're 16 because they said it was exploiting...
In France?
Yes.
No beauty pageants for girls until they're 16 years old.
Right, because they were exploiting the way they were getting dressed up more and more, looking like an older girl, so...
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about challenges women face in Europe. And our phone number is 877-333-7425. Catherine's on the line from Toronto in Ontario. Catherine, thanks for your call.
Hi. I just had a couple of quick questions because I often travel on my own and as a Canadian abroad. I've always been curious if there are behaviors that North American women should be avoiding when they're traveling on their own in Europe, because I know you were just mentioning how some of us are portrayed in the media, and I know that some of us behave a little perhaps more scandalous or are a little bit louder, more boisterous. I'm curious if there are sort of certain norms that we should be trying to adhere to when we're traveling in certain parts of Europe.
That's good advice. From a woman's point of view, when you see American women traveling in Europe, are they ever needing a little bit of coaching, doing anything that reflects poorly on them? Or what advice would you give American tourist women, Tina?
Yeah, with the younger women, I would say, yeah, they are usually a lot louder than the European women are. They're all over the place. So I would say a little calm down, take it a little more seriously. But other than that, I think it's still the curiosity and the friendliness that gets you a long way.
Ylva, any advice from Sweden?
No. You can behave as you
can do whatever you want in Sweden.
No, in whole Scandinavia. So.
And Julie, France is a complicated culture
for
a lot of
travelers. It's very
complicated,
but there's a couple of things that I would say, and that is, number one, that the French people are a little bit more discreet, and so they're not quite that friendly really quick. We're very trusting. Americans are very trusting of people, and we want to get into conversation, or people will walk up to us, and you kind of got to be careful sometimes when you're out, especially if you're alone.
Oh, that's good advice.
And the other thing is, in France, you've got to be really careful if you're a woman traveling alone. If you go into, say, for instance, in the United States, we can go into a restaurant and sit up at the bar and eat and talk to the bartender. That kind of thing is just not done in France.
Not done, meaning if you do it, you're sort of asking for rude advances?
Right. They might think that you want something more.
Okay.
Right?
So,
other than just to be friendly.
In a lot of countries, a woman alone in a restaurant or in a bar or walking out on the street at night will be approached, and people think she's a prostitute or looking for
say walking in the street. I've always felt really safe and being alone as a woman walking around in Paris or anywhere in France. But it's just the relationship.
You don't want to give a mixed message.
You don't want to walk up to somebody and start talking to them like you would here.
Right. That's good advice, because Americans often find that's a nice characteristic, but it might cause them a little trouble.
Yeah.
Catherine, I hope that gives you some ideas there.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
All right. Thanks.
We're discussing the variety of issues and concerns you might find in different corners of Europe right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Our guests are Ylva da Silva from Stockholm in Sweden, Tina Heaty, who lives near Lake Bled in Slovenia, and American Julie Sanvo, who married a Frenchman and is raising her kids in France. And Kim's calling in from Farmington in Utah.
I have a question of your guests, and I'm interested in having them provide a present day kind of a compare and a contrast of the general situation of women in the European Union as compared to women in North America and the United States, such as the education level and other, I guess, just demographic information about how.
So just how well off are women from a general equality point of view?
Yes.
So like in occupations, in freedom, in roles, in opportunities in education?
Yes, and I guess particularly in education. I guess I feel like more and more education for women is valued in the United States and more progressive for women all the time. And I don't hear much about how that is received in the European Union.
So, Kim, thank you. That's a good sort of way to begin to wrap up our discussion. If you're thinking just in general, the state of women, if you're a mom in your countries, what concerns would you have for your daughters in the next generation? What challenges do you have? Or is everything just great for women? Here in America, gender roles are a big deal. Equal pay for equal work is a big deal. Julie, as an American mom living in France, what are your concerns for your daughters and the next generation?
Well, there's concerns and then there's positives. I think that French women are very graceful about accepting their role in society. And I think that it's nice to see my daughter fit into that as well. But as far as education goes, I think that education is a high priority in France for everybody, women as well as men.
Now, you said French women are very graceful about fitting into their roles, and I think that's a very interesting light to shine on this discussion. A lot of people would be adamant about there are no roles, everybody's equal. But I have the sense in France and in some cultures in Europe, women celebrate the fact that they are treated like women, and
right.
They don't really aspire to be like men.
Exactly.
Talk a little more about that.
I believe that. Just the way they present themselves, the way they hold themselves, they're proud to be women and they're graceful. And it's not, I'm sure, as far as financially, yes, they do want to be paid equal mm-hmm. amounts for the equal job, but they're not as aggressive mm-hmm. as we are in the States sometimes about being equal in everything.
Ilva, in Sweden, is that interesting to you? Or is there a sort of a specialness of women in Sweden? Or is it we're all equal?
No, a Swedish woman would be very aggressive, I would say. If my daughters heard you, they would be upset.
Mm. So you don't want, in Sweden, you don't want a man to open the door for you?
No.
I can open the door myself.
Yes, definitely.
Right.
And education, salaries, everything has to be the same.
And in your assessment, it is?
Yes, but there are these nurses, preschool teachers.
Okay,
they are
a little work to do in Sweden to get the high-powered occupations equally populated by men and women.
But the will is there.
And Tina, in Slovenia?
I would say we're somewhere in between France and Scandinavia. We're not, as women, that gracious as the French women are. But I think still in Slovenia, you like to be a woman.
I can open the door for you.
You can open the door for me, but I would like to have the same paycheck as well. And that's one of the things that we talk about. We do have also a few celebrations for women in our country. So we actually celebrate not just the Mother's Day, but we also celebrate the Day for All Women. And it's a cool celebration. And it goes back to the, I would say, socialist system.
The Day for All Women. That gives women a little more power or dignity in general, rather than just you are worth celebrating because you're a mom.
Yeah.
You're worth celebrating
because
you're a woman.
Yeah, that's right.
Kim, does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, it does. I appreciate the responses.
It's interesting, isn't it, how you've got this sort of spectrum and women aspire to different things in France, Slovenia, and Sweden, and everybody is on a track to get there. And it sounds like Sweden's doing pretty darn well and everybody's making progress. Thanks for your call, Kim.
Thank you.
To wrap things up, I would just like to know if your great-grandmother was here and she could go into your home and she could see the role of women today in your society, what would she be most struck by? Ilva in Sweden.
Probably that I'm not married. I have children, but I'm not married. My mother I have two siblings. My mother never got married. My grandmother, though, she was born 1920. She married, and she was a housewife. But since then, there are no housewives in Sweden, and we don't need to get married.
That's a big change mm-hmm. for great-grandma. Julie, in France.
That would be one of them, that I'm a single mother raising two kids, but that I don't have a traditional job. Even though I do have a job, it's very unconventional to be working out of the country and traveling away from my children at times. And
in an affluent modern age, men and women have more options and more creative, fun mm-hmm. things to do rather than just get out in the field and try to make enough food to
exactly.
feed the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina, in Slovenia, great-grandma comes into your house in Ljubljana.
Oh, she would be in a big shock because she would see my husband cooking. That would never happen.
You have a modern husband and you are a modern mom in former Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
All right. Tina, Ilva, Julie, thank you very much. This has been a very thought-provoking discussion and best wishes for each of you as you fly home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. Our website team includes Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank. When you're traveling, you can find out when other stations air Travel with Rick Steves. Look for our affiliate listings with Listen Live links in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And we'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.